You, Sister Cheryl, I think I had that on an 8-track. And y'all not even old enough to know what an 8-track is. Nobody in here knows what that is. That was great, Sister Cheryl. Thank you. Okay, you've been reading the Bible every day, praying every day. If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you a schedule. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Brother R.C., how about praying for us? Pray for Brother Charlie, if you don't care.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity today to come to you, Lord, and to bring our thoughts and our prayers up to you this morning, Father, knowing that you are a mighty God. And Lord, there's nothing that you can't take care of. You already knew about it before it happened. And Lord, we lift Brother Charlie up to you this morning.
Yes.
Father, we pray for you, Lord, that you help him. And you just put your arms around him and let him know that your presence, know what's going on, and you can take control of it. And Father, we pray for the very, very best for him this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity again, Lord, to be able to come to your house to worship, to praise, and to fellowship, Father. We just thank you for that desire that you put down in our hearts. Father, we thank you for your precious word and what it means to us. We thank you for writing it down for us, Lord, where we can just get to it at any moment of our day, Lord. Lord, we pray for those youngins downstairs this morning, Lord. We pray if they just see one down there, Lord, that would just receive you as a personal Savior. Lord, I pray for that one. Lord, I pray not just one, but maybe two, maybe three, maybe four. However many, Lord, I pray that you just burden their hearts. Lord, these the teachers downstairs and help them, Lord, as they bring out a message to them this morning. Lord, I pray for Brother Rick this morning, Lord. I pray that you just bless him, Father, with the word, Lord, that it will just pour out of us, that we could that we can apply it to our lives as well, Lord, and that we can just praise you and just be able to glorify you and thank you for everything you do for us. Lord, I pray this morning for upstairs up here, Lord, that Lord, you've given invitations out, just numerous invitations, people, Lord, and I pray today that they act on that reservation, that very appointment that you have given them today.
Yes.
Father, I thank you so much for your precious Son.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, I just love you this morning.
Yeah.
Yes. You're so good to us.
Yes.
And Lord, yes. I just want to praise you this morning. We give you all the glory and everything that we do, we say to you. In Jesus' name we ask.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother R.C. I was reminded yesterday it wasn't just the Lord that left heaven, but the Holy Spirit left heaven to come down here and live in my wicked heart, to move inside me. And he left heaven too. Jesus wasn't the only one. The Holy Spirit did. I was telling some this week, we've been in Genesis for a while. We had a lot of fun in the introduction and the first three chapters. Getting a little more history now. A little more history. The first 11 chapters took 2,000 years to cover that. And then just the rest now, for the next 39 chapters, only going to be 350 years.
Yeah.
We're going to slow down now. We're going to look at the patriarchs. Who was the first patriarch? Who are we looking at?
Abram.
Right. We'll get the rest of them later. That's enough for today. I don't want to hurt you or nothing. Anyway. Last week we were in chapter 13, and we read the first four verses. Let's read those again by review. It tells about the arrival, where Abram arrived back home, really, where he was, right beside Bethel, at the house of God. He had left the will of God, went out into the world, down into Egypt, and this is the arrival back home, 13. That's Genesis 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar where he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. It seems like many times I just go in circles. and don't get anything done, don't get anything accomplished. And that's what Abram's doing here. He's supposed to come back a more spiritual man, separated man, all that. I don't know. I don't know if he got it or not. Anyway, that's the arrival. Here's the argument, starting in verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife. They had strife about one particular thing, it looks like, between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites, not parasites, Perizzites, dwelt in the land. Now, for sure, the Perizzites and the Canaanites, they knew about the internal strife in the church. Let me just read that again. Here's the arguments. The lost Canaanites and the Perizzites outside knew about the internal church split.
Yeah.
It was a strife. And I was just reminded, I don't know how pertinent this is, but sometimes, you know, if you don't know what to do, you better not do it.
Right.
It's not true, well, we're going to do it whether it's wrong or not. You know, well, I've said that. I'm going to do something whether it's wrong or not. And I'll tell you what else. If you don't have anything to say, Brother Rick, you're better off just not say it.
Right.
But sometimes I go ahead and say it anyway.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what's wrong with myself. Okay, that's the argument. Here's the agreement, starting in verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. It's not the whole, this is a good attitude. Abraham's a giver. He didn't have to do this. He's generous. Abraham's generous. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou goest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. That's one of Lot's big mistakes here, separating from Abraham, from Abram. Verse 12, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So Lot's getting himself in a bind here. Abraham went against our modern day Laodiceans, and he said, you just take whichever half you want. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. And Abraham gave up his rights. He didn't do like the Laodiceans. Abraham listened with his eyes closed, and Lot looked with his eyes open. And he looked to see what... He lived by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything you can see is temporary.
Yes, it is.
Brother Rick, you need to remember that. Those chivalries are temporary. Brick houses are temporary. Cows, Tennessee walk, they're all temporary. Everything you can see is temporary. Abram, he closed his eyes and listened to the Lord. I need to guard my eyes. Psalm 119, verse 37. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. We've been over it many times. Vanity is that thing in the bedroom. You keep your socks in, got the mirror in front of it. And vanity is me there looking for my hair where it done blowed away yesterday. Vanity. I need to guard my eyes. That's not all. I need obedient ears. Proverbs 25:12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon obedient ears. I need to have obedient ears. I need to listen to the Lord and not just hear it like the preacher said. I need to listen. I need to be obedient. Obedient. Better than sacrifice. Luke said the same thing. Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Just read the Bible every day. Read the Bible. That's what the old timers did. They called it living by faith. Living by faith. Just read the word of God and keep it. Obedient ears. James, he agreed with it. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, Brother Rick, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Yeah.
Slow. And then I need to open my eyes to what the Lord has to say. Not like Lot did in Kings, 2 Kings 6:17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, big Lord, capital L Lord, capital O, capital R, capital D, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Could I go ahead and say guardian angels? You know, we got one or two. Some got three or four. I used to ride with the preacher. He'd get in and say, Lord, put an angel on each fender. And we'd take off, and he needed them, too. He needed them. I never saw a preacher that could drive. Luke 24. And preach both. Depending on if they could preach or not. Luke 24:26. We're talking about open eyes. Open eyes. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. You know, remember, Brother Paul said, we believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs. Paul Schaefer said that. O fools and slow of heart to believe all. You believe it all this morning? To believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I'm talking about big Sunday school now. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Have you seen him? Do you know him? And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? We had heartburn for him while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures. The Lord himself. Then in verse 45, he's going to do the same thing with us one day. He's going to explain it all. There won't be any questions then. We're going to understand it. Verse 45 in that same chapter. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. We're talking about open eyes. So many times I'm careless with my eyes and my hearing. Careless. Ezekiel had the same problem in Ezekiel's day. Ezekiel 33. And they come They come unto thee on Sunday morning as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people. And they hear my words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Don't do that, Brother Rick. Don't be like Ezekiel's day. I'm talking about careless hearing. Sometimes I just let it go in one side and out the other. Matthew 7. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I know this is real familiar, but the Lord must have knew it was a problem. He wrote it down. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. Jesus, that's a big rock right there. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, on the Lord. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be, listen, we're talking about Lot, if you remember in the beginning, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, floods came, winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he talked to them as one having authority and not like the scribes did. Well, he had all the authority in the world there was. He could say it, yes. Talking about careless hearing. We don't want to have careless hearing, Brother Rick. Luke 16:31. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, I'm talking about Genesis. I'm talking about Genesis 13, right where we're at. Genesis chapter 3. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though Jesus rose from the dead. Talk about careless hearing. If they won't believe this, they won't believe lightning striking. If they don't believe this, they won't believe the curtains blowing with the windows shut. It's got to be this. It's got to be the Word of God. That's called faith. It's called living by faith. And then, divine hearing. You know, the Lord hears me. Why wouldn't I want to hear Him? He hears every prayer of a Bible believer. He hears us. Let's see about it. 2 Samuel 22:7. This is David's song when he got delivered. Have you been delivered? It's his song when he got delivered from his enemies. 2 Samuel 22:7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Can I get a witness right there? And cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. It happens over and over and over again. He does that for us. Talking about godly hearing now. Psalm 34:15. This is David again. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. He's ready. He's got a will. Nothing wrong with His ear. He can hear. He can hear. The problem be with Rick. Isaiah 59:1. Isaiah believed. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, Brother Rick, have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. He will not hear. See, if I reject the Lord honors my decision. Man's decision. If I reject the Lord, He says, okay, I'll reject you. If I receive the Lord, He says, okay, come on in. Come on in. He'll receive us. He honors our decisions. He gives us a free will, and then He honors our decisions. Was that Isaiah? That was Isaiah. How about Isaiah 65:24? And it shall come to pass that before they call. All this happens to me so many times. Sometimes I pray, but sometimes I don't have time to. He done come through there and answered it.
Yeah, he'll do it.
It says right here, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I'll answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Hallelujah. I'm talking about divine hearing. I'm talking about how the Lord treats us. Why wouldn't I do Him the same way? Why wouldn't I listen to Him? 1 Peter believed it. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Yeah, He's right. Don't forget, the grass is always greener over the septic tank. Let's go back to Genesis there. Genesis 13. Review here on 8 and 9. Here's the terms of the agreement. We talked about the agreement. Here's the terms of it. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife. I pray thee between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brother. It's not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. And if thou wilt depart to the right hand, I'll go to the left. Here's the terms. See, they were shepherds before they went down into Egypt. Now they got them some cows. Now they're cowboys. Now they come back with some money and a maid. And now they got some. Now they are somebody. When they left Egypt, there wasn't no. When they left home, there wasn't no fussing. Down in Egypt, now they got something. Now they are somebody. And he said, let there be no strife. Abraham put aside his rights. Spurgeon said, it takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well. If we don't care who gets the honor and the glory, it's hard to tell what the Lord will do. Hard to tell. 10, a little review here again, 10 through 13. Here's the tragedy. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of the Jordan, that is well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves. Big mistake, one from the other. Lot should have never separated from Uncle Abram. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. It was like unto the land of Egypt. That's what Lot was interested in. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have much trouble not loving the world. They don't love me. The Bible says they'll hate us. But those things. Drive by a car lot. Drive by a field full of black Angus. Something like that. Maybe some little baby goats. Something like that. The things. Love not the world, neither the things. That are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Brother Rick, take heed. Take heed. Like unto the land of Egypt. That's why Lot wanted it. Lot steps downward. He had many steps downward. He ends up down, down, down. In verse 10, he lifted up his eyes and looked. He looked at it. Verse 11, he chose him all the plains of Jordan. It's a good grassland. He wasn't worried about Abram. Do the best you can. Put the goats up on the hillside. Verse 11, he separated from Abram. Abram's going to be at Bethel beside the house of God. Verse 12, he dwelt in the cities of the plains. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. That's the way he wanted to go. I'm praying for the grandkids. They'll go the right direction. Don't want it to go real fast. Don't want it to go fast. We need to go the right direction. Right direction. Then Genesis 14:12. They took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. Now he's dwelling there. He stays there. He lives there. That's his zip code. That's where he's at. He's set up permanent residence. He's got a house now. And no tent now. And then chapter 19:1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate. In the Greek, that sat in the gate, he was a member of Congress. He was in the legislature. He was one of the judges. He stood up front. He made the decision. He was in the city council on the Board of Education. He's a leader. He's moved up front now. Lot was weak in his devotions. No altar. He left the altar. Uncle Abram had the altar.
Right.
And he left
right.
it. No altar like Uncle Abram. His no prayer. Lot was worldly in his desires. He did not pray about a good place to raise the kids. Where is he going to send them to school? Just going to train them like the worldlings, like the Egyptians, like the Sodomites. Lot was wrong in his decisions. The first question that comes to a man's soul is heaven or hell. And you get saved, let's say you get saved. The second question comes, am I going to live for earth or heaven? Am I going to live for this world or the next world? That's the second question. George Mueller said the stops as well as the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. 14. Back to Genesis chapter 13. We saw the argument and the agreement. Now, starting in 14 is the assurance. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. It's Abram now. Abram doesn't lose anything. He gets more. He gets better. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. That was, I think, 4,000 years ago, and it's happened right now. They got it. I don't know if they got all of it. They've moved in. They're moving in. 16, I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in length of it, in the breadth of it, for I'll give it to thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. He gave him more than he had before. It's harder to count dust than it is sand. Abram pitched his tent toward God the way God told him to. Abram was the altar builder. Worship and prayer were an important part of that pile of rocks that he left behind, that testimony that he left behind. Mamre means richness, and Hebron means communion, and that's where Abraham's home was and his burying place. That's where he got buried. Okay. We got a little time here. Let's go to chapter 14. Chapter 14 is the villains. The villains. One, it's the courage of Abraham. Going to be the first war that ever happened. Here's a war. Going to start out in the first four verses. Going to be five kings against four kings. There's five on one side, four on the other. And this is the first war in history. We'll see the first priest down through here. And starting in verse 4 is the rebellion. The first war. The last war is in Revelation 19. And it came to pass in the days, and I'll never get these right, of Amos, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Etham, Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adamoth, and Shemeber, king of Zeboam, and king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the Vale of Sidon, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. It's the first time you find the word 13 in the Bible, and it's unlucky for somebody. It's unlucky for somebody. Micah 4:3. This verse is on the building of the UN. The UN headquarters. This verse is on the outside of it. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It sounds good. It sounds good on the surface. What might have been better is Matthew 24:6. I don't see they're helping things a whole lot. Matthew 24:6 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet."
Yeah.
Or maybe Joel 3:9-10 might be better. "Proclaim ye among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I'm strong." I think Brother Tom had a good point right there. In 4,000 years, the last 4,000 years of human history, starting about here where Abram is, remember that's 2000 B.C., there's been 268 years of peace and 8,000 peace treaties. War, man. Man likes war. We don't do very good. 5 through 11 is retaliation. 5 through 11. "And in the 14th year, same Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him smote the Rephaims and Ashtaroth, Kerzan and Zezims and Ham and Emans and Shavus and Havoth and the Horites and Mausur and the Ephraim by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Smishish and Kadesh and smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites and dwelt in the Hazar Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adamah, and the king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, and the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. And Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and Tidal, king of the nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, and Eliezer, four kings with five." There it is, four kings with five. "And the Vale of Sodom is full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountains, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son." That was their mistake. They messed up when they took Lot, Abram's brother's son. Because Abram is prepared.
Yeah.
He's prepared.
Yeah.
He hadn't just been laying around. He's ready. He said, "Uh-oh, y'all cross the line now. Abram's going to go get him." Abram was prepared. 2 Chronicles 12:14. "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." Well, Abram was prepared. He had an altar. He'd been praying. He was ready. 2 Chronicles 19:3. "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thy heart to seek God." Are you ready? Are you prepared? Chapter 27. still in 2 Chronicles 27, verse 6. So Jotham became mighty. Why? Why was Jotham mighty? He prepared his way before the Lord his God. Abram was prepared. They should have never touched his kinfolk. They should have never touched his nephew. He's going to go get him and the goods and the victims. They're going to be victims now. He's going to take care of it. That's the... Let's see, chapter 14, verse 12 again. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Oh, they really messed up now. They took the nephew and his goods. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, and vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, he's going to get delivered anyway. I just read yesterday that really all the Lord expects out of us is failure. He knows we can't do it. He knows we need Him. God knows that. He's wanting Brother Rick to rely on Him. He's not wanting me to do it myself. He's wanting me to trust Him. Let's go back to... We're in Genesis 14. Let's look at the victory. 13 and 14 at Abram's army. And there came one that escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eskel and brother of Aner. These were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken, you know, around here, we've got the song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." We shake hands, we say, "Hi, brother, how you doing? Hi, sister, how you getting along today?" He called him brother. It really his nephew. But it's one family. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He said, "Enough's enough. They done got in the family now." This is his brother born in his own house. Abram's prepared. He's got his own servants trained. He's ready. He takes immediate attack. Verse 15, Abram's attack. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And his achievements is in 16. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. He pursued all the way. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. If Abram could do it, think how much more or better you could take care of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, how are you?
Thank you.